Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Join your host, Sandra Flack.
Even as, in His love, He chose us, actually picked us out for Himself as His own, chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, consecrated, and set apart for Him and blameless in His sight, even above reproach, before Him in love. For He foreordained us, destined us, planned in love for us to be adopted, revealed as His own children through Jesus Christ in accordance with the purpose of His will, because it pleased Him and was His kind intent. That was actually Ephesians 1, verses 4 through 5 from the Amplified Bible. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and we have a returning guest today. Kathleen Guire is an adoptive mom, author, speaker, and teacher. She loves encouraging adoptive and foster families through her website, thewholehouse.org, and her Whole House podcast. She has written a few books, Positive Adoption, a memoir, which we've talked about on our show before. She's also written a book called Defining Home, and soon to be released, Defining Family. And the book that we'll be talking about today, 25 Days of Thriving Through Christmas, an Advent devotional for adoptive and foster parents. She's a busy writer. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. I've read pretty much all three of the books that have been released so far and love your writing and your passion and your heart. So you released the Advent devotional last year, and I know for one, I so desperately needed it. I relied on it throughout last December. And I wanted to have you back on the show to talk specifically about it. And I'll post a picture of me with my book, because when I pulled it off the shelf to do this interview, it's like, looks like it's been through a war. It's got coffee stains on the binder. The pages are all rumpled, but you can tell I literally used it, and it was brand new last year. So it's worn, but it was well worth it because it definitely was a light during that, you know, flurry of activity during the holiday season. So I'm glad you're back on to talk about it. So tell us, why did you write this 25-day Advent devotional?
Well, I think a lot of times we write something that we need ourselves.
Mm.
And it originally started as a blog post series years ago. And I just found that my kids from hard places did not respond to the holidays the way that I expected them to. You know, you think you bring your kids home and they become part of your family, they're going to be so excited about the holidays. But their experience with the holidays was completely different. So I had to figure out some new tools to use with them. So I had originally started this as a blog series, which was much smaller than the book. And then it grew into, I got a lot of response from that. So I decided to kind of beef it up and make it into a book, because if I had that need as an adoptive parent, I figured that other people have that need also.
Oh, definitely so. And I think it's really a misconception. I think adoptive and foster parents can, you know, we can set these expectations that Christmas is going to be just this wonderful thing and our kids are going to love it. We're going to bless them because they've never had, you know, this amazing experience before. But that's just it. They've never had the experience of Christmas, at least how we celebrate it in the States. And it can be
exactly
really just shocking and overstimulating and confusing and painful for our kids. So it is such a needed resource for parents to really understand that and then have some tools to help them with that. So Kathleen, explain for our listeners the format of the book.
Okay, it's very easy. It's very simple. So there are 25 tips. Actually, I added an extra one in, 26. So every day you open your devotional, there's a tip for the day, with a little write-up and then a short biblical application. And then on the weekends, there are four different chapters, one on Joseph, one on Mary, one on the wise men, and one on Jesus. And those are kind of a deeper read just for the parents to just kind of fill their emotional tank and their spiritual tank through the holidays.
I love that.
That's how it's laid out. And last year, and I'm going to do this again this year, I had a private Facebook group for the book. So I will put that event up and anybody can join. So I also did some videos throughout the season, one a week. Just a really short video for parents to watch and be encouraged.
Wonderful resources for families who might be struggling through the holiday season with their children. So let's talk about some of the tips. You said there's 26 tips that you offer to adoptive and foster parents through the book, one per day. So we're going to look at a few of them. We're not going to cover all 26 of them, obviously. And the book is designed, the reason why there's 26 is because you're bringing us through December 1st through Christmas, December 25th, and really there's an extra one thrown in there for the next day. Or if you're like me, sometimes like you have to try to play catch up because you might not have been able to even get to one each day. But they're amazing tips. So let's talk. I picked out a few that I want to go over. So tip number one is let kids know what is happening next. And most people might not realize that children who come from hard places into our families from an orphanage or from the foster care system, they probably have never seen or experienced Christmas like most of us celebrate, as I mentioned before. So tell us why this tip is important.
Well, for exactly what you're saying, like I found with my kids, they didn't know what a traditional American Christmas was at all. So, and because kids from hard places do really well with knowing what's happening next, you have to be adamant about letting them know. Because when my newbies became part of the family, they had never celebrated any holidays the way that we do. And 25 days of building up to something was just overwhelming for them, and it caused so much anxiety. And I found myself saying like a bazillion times a day, today's not Christmas. Because, you know, you start celebrating Advent at the end of November or beginning of December, and they have no clue what's happening next. And it can send them into meltdown mode very quickly.
Yes.
So I just think that it's really important to let them know what's happening next in the biblical application of that day. God is letting his chosen people know almost from the very beginning that his son is coming to redeem them. And that's in Genesis. He's telling them, you know, I do have a plan. Here's the plan. So he continues to remind them and tell them. So why shouldn't we tell our children what's going to happen next?
That is so true. And really, things start ramping up really right around Thanksgiving. Before that, even in October, sometimes I've seen commercials about Christmas even before November hits. So there's such a buildup, and it can create anxiety in children from hard places. Often they need to know what's going to happen next. They need the play by play because of fear, because of the trauma that they've experienced. So it can be very, very hard on them. So for sure, talk about it. An Advent calendar even is a great way for children so they can kind of count those days off and have a visual on that.
Right. Yeah. That's a great resource. And you can do it different ways. One way we did it was just the shape of a Christmas tree on the wall with a little sticker for each day. So anything like that you can do will help.
Yeah. And then tip number four, I love this one. It's okay to say no. And by that, we don't mean no to our kids, but no to the never-ending events to add to our calendar throughout the entire month of December.
Exactly. Because even if it's a good thing, every good thing is not good for your children. Because if it's going to overwhelm them and be sensory overload that you're constantly going Christmas caroling to Christmas parties, it's okay to say no to things, because we live in bodies that are finite, and our children from hard places have more limitations than we do. And you might be able to say to your husband, no, I don't want to go Christmas caroling tonight. That's a little too much for me today. I've had too much on my plate. Kids are not going to be able to verbalize that. they're just going to melt down. They're just going to be overwhelmed, and then nobody is going to enjoy the season at all. So just say no. You don't have to do everything that everybody is doing. I know that's not culturally acceptable anymore, but you have to do what is best for your family and for your children.
That's right. And tip number 9, try to stick to a schedule. And I know my adopted children, especially one in particular, thrives in a highly structured, scheduled environment, but the holiday season can wreak havoc on the schedule. So what's your advice here for us, Kathleen?
Oh, yeah, because when I wrote this, I was sitting in my office drinking a cup of coffee and finishing off a brownie during the Christmas season. And my kids from hard places also, there were several of them that needed a really, really strict schedule. So even though you have to change your schedule a little bit, keep as many things as you can as possible the same. Like you get up and you eat breakfast together at the table if that's your habit. Whatever habits you can maintain, you can't just throw it all out, because if you throw it all out, then everybody is going to be discombobulated, and we don't want that.
No.
Of course, things do have to change, but with repetition and tradition, like my kids got used to the extended family coming in every year, so that new schedule, they got used to it. But as much as possible, keep to your old schedule. One of your best friends, if your kids can read at this point, is a whiteboard. Put it up in an area where their kids are going to see it every day, either your kitchen or your dining room, and write down what's happening that day that's different so they can stick to that schedule.
Very good. Tip number 14, start a tradition. Our family was actually in Ukraine during Christmas for our first adoption. So we brought home a tradition. It's not really a Ukrainian tradition, but our missionary friends had served us homemade, warm, yeasty cinnamon rolls and coffee on Christmas morning. And I figured, hey, if they could pull that off over there, I could pull that off here in the States in my kitchen. So we've been having homemade cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning ever since. We also have some great Christmas decorations that I had purchased in Ukraine, and our kids look forward to setting those out every year. What other suggestions do you have for new traditions?
Well, I think that we get caught up in the old traditions, like they're handed down from our families. And I think that what we have to do is look at what our children can handle and create new traditions that they can handle. So we either have a tradition by default just because we keep doing it, or we choose to do a different tradition. One of the traditions that we started was just a very small gift exchange with my kids, drawing names, because I had 7 kids, so they would draw names, and they would get to go buy that person a present. And they looked forward to that so much every year, whether it was something they found in a drawer in their room and wrapped up. But it was simple. It wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't something that was going to send them into a meltdown mode. So I think a lot of people don't even realize, hey, I can start my own tradition, whether it's stringing popcorn or, like yours, making cinnamon rolls, which is what my mother did every year, was make cinnamon rolls for breakfast on Christmas morning. You have that choice, and you can sit down and figure out, what can my kids handle? What will be a good thing for them that I can continue to repeat every year, and they will enjoy it? Enjoy it is very important.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to do Christmas traditions that nobody's going to enjoy.
Exactly. Exactly. So 2 more kind of back to back here. Tip number 16, expect meltdowns. And tip number 17, expect a mom meltdown. Tell us about
these.
This is
my favorite. Well, we have to remember that different triggers are different for each person. So our kids from hard places, as much as we have the paperwork and maybe we got to talk to the psychologist and all those sorts of things, we still don't know everything that they have experienced. And they don't know everything that they have experienced because they have state memories, which are those memories you can't verbalize that are still in your brain from an experience. So just expect that they're going to have a meltdown to something you weren't planning for or you weren't prepared for. So we can think we've got every trigger written down. We've journaled all this stuff. We know everything that's going to happen. It's just not realistic to think that your kids are not going to have a meltdown multiple times during the Christmas season.
And Christmas season is difficult for a lot of people, not just children from hard places, but I don't think we often think that the children would have a difficult time. But like you said, there's triggers, and you just never know what's going to surface. The sight of something, the time of year when they came into to care, the time of year that a trauma occurred. And oftentimes it's the holiday season. I know they're even in the foster care system, there's a large influx of children coming into foster care during the holiday season. So it stands to reason that there's going to be several triggers, bad memories. So we need to be aware that it's very likely there could be a meltdown. What about the mom meltdown?
Oh my goodness. Like I said, this is my favorite because moms want Christmas to be perfect.
Yes.
And we try everything we can to make it perfect for our family and for our children. And it's just not realistic. There are so many, you know, podcasts and blog posts and all this advice on how to decorate your tree and what gifts are the best gift for this year and do this and do that, that we often get ourselves into a state of just thinking that we have to do it all and be it all. And we get exhausted. So we're going to melt down. We need to make sure that we practice some self-care even during the holiday season. So if you exercise regularly when it's not the holiday season, you need to continue to do that during the holiday season. All those things that we kind of push aside because we're like, oh, it's Christmas. And every person is not going to get the perfect gift. Like we focus on that so much. And I started this tip with a whole little rant that a friend of mine had made on Instagram about being afraid she didn't have all the right gifts and not having enough time or enough money to do everything. So we have to remember that a joyous Christmas season is not based on perfection. Hmm. We're just a bunch of human beings, and we need to just let go and relax and enjoy what we can enjoy.
Yeah, and don't compare ourselves to, you know, we can't compare our decorations and our shopping and our baking and all of these different things with other moms who, especially if those are moms that are not parenting kids from hard places, because it's just,
right.
That's a game changer right there. So I think,
right. And,
go ahead.
My daughter and I were talking about a cookie day. We have a cookie day every year. And we were talking about some friends of ours who will get together and make all these just gorgeous, like, I don't know, 20 dozen beautiful cookies and 8 different kinds. On our cookie day, the cookies are all smashed up, stacked up, icing, Reese's cup on top, and the kids call it good.
Yeah.
So call it good.
Yeah.
Don't melt down.
Don't melt down. That's right. So we're talking about Kathleen's book, 25 Days of Thriving Through Christmas, an Advent devotional for adoptive and foster parents. The book was released prior to the holidays last year. Kathleen, what kind of feedback have you received from readers who used the book last year?
Well, and I was telling you this at the beginning of the week. I wish I would have copied and pasted all the comments that I got from people and saved them. But I do know that several organizations, adoption groups, ordered the book to do a study with their support group, which was really encouraging. But I got nothing but good feedback last year. People were saying it was helpful. Even people who had special needs kids and they hadn't been adopted were saying it helped them so much with their expectation of the holidays and being able to thrive and not just survive. And we don't want to just survive through the holidays. We want to enjoy it, and we want our kids to enjoy it.
Yeah. And I feel like that was one of the reasons why it was so helpful to me, because as a believer, you know, we want to relish the holiday season and the birth of Christ and all of that, you know, what that means.
Right.
But we're so busy going through this, you know, furious activities and lists and shopping and baking and decorating and wrapping, and to the point to where I start to dread it. And then I'm so busy doing all those other things. It's like, I'm not even experiencing Christmas, the joy part of Christmas. So the devotional really helped to put that back into the right perspective. So Kathleen, how can our listeners get a copy of the Advent devotional in time for Christmas?
The Advent devotional is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Alibris, any major bookseller. You can get that. You can order it online. And on Amazon, of course, you can get the Kindle copy, which I am reducing the price of when this episode is released so that people can get it for just a little bit of a discount.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. And then they can also, how do they find out about the Facebook group? Do they search for that?
They need to go to the Whole House page on Facebook and find it in the event.
So that's Whole House, W-H-O-L-E, like the whole thing, the Whole House Facebook group, and you'll be able to find that there. And go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available in Kindle version. You can't spill your coffee on that version like I did on mine, but you can do it that way. You can order the book. We've got about a month before December 1st, and you want to start this devotional December 1st, so don't delay. Order your Advent devotional today. It was such a huge blessing for me last year, and I will be keeping it down off the shelf now for this year. So, Kathleen, as we wrap up, share with us anything on your heart that you want our listeners to hear.
I think the main thing that's been on my heart, especially coming into the Christmas season, is just to remember to keep it simple. And remember, your kids do not understand the breadth and the height and the depth of God's love the way that we would want them to at this point. They don't understand what the meaning of Christmas is. So don't put so much spiritual pressure on the holiday for them right now. Because if they're seeing Christmas trees and presents and Santa Claus and that's all they think it is right now, just be patient with them. And the more you put your traditions in, the more you do your Advent readings year after year after year, it's going to be layer after layer after layer of understanding that they're going to have. Because I think we have unrealistic expectations spiritually for our children too, and they don't understand it.
That is so true. It made me think of, as I said before, we were in Ukraine through Christmas for our first adoption, and I'm a journaler. I was even more so a journaler before all my kids came home. But all while we were in Ukraine, I journaled, and I journaled through the holiday season, which was very difficult for me because our biological children were back here in the States. So it was the first time in my life I was ever not with my children. I was also not with my parents. It was the first Christmas I wasn't with my parents. I never set the Christmas tree up in my house. I never baked a single Christmas cookie. I never wrapped a present. I never decorated. I never went to all of those traditions, all of those things that we strive so hard to accomplish for Christmas, I never did any of that at home that year. And it was okay because I really felt the Lord draw near to me, because I really felt like I was experiencing probably what was the most spiritually intimate with the Lord Christmas I'd ever experienced before, because it was really just me and Him, you know, me and the Lord and focusing on Him. So it just made it very special. And now, one of the traditions that I have is right around that time when I know this is the time we were in Ukraine that year, I pull out that journal and I read a little bit every day to the kids that are home, because some of them are married and out of the house now, but we'll read it and we can kind of relive. And it probably is even more impactful to me because I had went through it the first time and wrote it down, and many of them were too little to even understand what was going on. But that's another new tradition. But I have to say that all of the trappings that we try to wrap Christmas in and our to-do lists and all of that really had nothing to do with the real meaning of Christmas. I did appreciate it all more the next year when I was home and I could take out those Christmas decorations that I hadn't seen in 2 years by that point.
Exactly.
You know, but it's really the people, it's really the relationships, and it's not all of the stuff that we can tend to make it. So focus on our kids, focus on just being together, keep it simple. I love that. Keep it simple.
Right.
So thank you so much, Kathleen, for writing this devotional, really. And I know, can you just give us a real quick synopsis on finding home and finding family?
Sure. Defining Home is the story of a young girl in an orphanage in Poland. She's a teenager, and it is actually a hidden meaning because I want teens to learn about human trafficking. Mm-hmm. And if you write a handbook for human trafficking, then a teen's not going to read it. But if you bury the message in an exciting, thrilling novel, then they're going to read it. So it's just a young girl who is getting ready to age out of the system in Poland and be out of the orphanage, her just experience with a friend who is kidnapped and going to be trafficked. And so Defining Family is the next in the series, and this is after Adelina is adopted and is here in the United States and finds out that world of human trafficking exists here too, and she gets caught up in a whole nother escapade and trying to deal with it here. So, and learning more, and of course it's Defining Family because she's learning what a family is.
Yeah. Well, I read Defining Home and it was incredible, and I can't wait when Defining Family gets released here, hopefully the beginning of the new year. So, but to order your copy of 25 Days of Thriving Through Christmas, an Advent devotional for adoptive and foster parents, go to Amazon.com. You can also go to Barnes & Noble. Don't wait. You want to do it now so you can start the devotional on December 1st. So thank you, Kathleen.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And we thank you for listening to Orphans No More today. You can find more episodes of this show right on our website, justicefororphansny.org. Just click on podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean by searching for the show by name, Orphans No More. Be sure to subscribe or follow the podcast. Every 25th follower receives a free bag of Greater Things Roasters coffee. Justice for Orphans is a nonprofit ministry on a mission to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls. To learn more, visit us at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.